Man, oh man, sorry about that. New microphone, was just trying things out here.
Hey, it looks nice.
Oh, thank you. It's the upgraded model because I fucking broke my old microphone in last week's episode trying to get it over to Rachel.
Damn, how'd you? Oh.
Because it's like a little notch on here that you screws into like the microphone stand. And so I was trying to like get it over to her like subtly. I was like unscrewing things and then like the little gasket inside just popped off and flew somewhere and I couldn't fucking find it. And so every time I like tried to hold the microphone afterwards, it was just like droopy dick the whole time. I was like, well,
He
that's
said gummy
broken.
worm.
Literally. Literally. So I was like, that's yeah, that I probably need a new microphone now. So there you go. I upgraded.
Hey, nice. It sounds crisp.
Thank you. Good. I'm glad to hear it.
What's been going on? What happened last weekend?
I mean, we did have my family come over for a small Christmas. Again, my family does like, because they're smaller, we wait till January to do it because all the big Christmases go for Rachel's family. So mine came over, my mom and, brother, both my, a couple of my brothers, Hakeem, of course, down in Georgia. But yeah, we came, just hung out for a little bit, nothing big, not like our normal holidays. And, four or five hours together and spent played some games, watched some football, ate some food. That was about it. So really
Hell yeah.
nice. Yeah, really nice low key end of the holiday for me. And then yeah, just on the couch the whole time. And it was lovely because it's cold as a motherfucker outside. I don't know
Cold
if
as a
y'all know that.
fucking hoe.
Woo! Like I had to, here's the thing. I had to pump gas twice today. I'm
Oh
pissed.
my God.
I'm
Oh.
pissed about it. Because I was like, because you know me, I got like a little piece of shit little Focus, and we have the SUV, and I had to go grocery shopping. So Rage already went to work with the SUV, and I go, oh shit, I can't put groceries in the little Focus. So I was on the way to, switch vehicles with her. So I stopped and got gas in the Focus. I'm like, oh, I'm not gonna leave an empty tank when it's fucking negative 30 degrees outside because that would fucking freeze. So I filled mine up, and I swear, while I was filling up the tank, in my head, I was like, I know what's gonna happen. I'm gonna go pick up this SUV and there's gonna be no fucking gas in it because my wife hates pumping gas. And I'm gonna do this shit twice. I already know it. Before I'm already pre-mad about it. And lo and behold, we got over to the noodles and yeah, no gas in the SUV. So I
Nice.
had to pump gas twice when it's like this fucking cold outside. My
Freezing your ass
balls
off.
were just completely back into my body, sucked up. So
Icicles running
yes,
down your beard.
ice, exactly. Frosted nose, the whole fucking kin caboodle, but it's fine. How was your weekend last week?
Oh man. I think I had a little too much fun.
Little too much fun? It sounded like you had a good weekend.
No, man, I just stayed home, really. I didn't do much. I just watched a bunch of sports, enjoyed my time watching my parlays miss because one team decides to fuck it all up, which we'll get into later. But besides that, man, I've been straight chilling. Straight chilling.
You know I'm gonna ask with that stupid ass smile on your face.
Wait, what?
You mentioned you had some company. So no. Okay, no.
Not a zip, not a. I don't know what you're
Okay.
talking about.
We won't go there at all then.
I'll just delete that part. Or not.
He over here grinning, ladies and gentlemen, but I won't pry. I am not someone who pushes that envelope. A gentleman is a gentleman, and they never tell. But that's all. All I'm gonna say is for the podcast listeners, he's got a big shit-eating grin on his face right now, and I usually know what that means. We call it the glow, and it's not
No,
just the LED strip next to him.
no. Look, I'm just laughing because I'm high.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I see. I've been puffing this. It's like 97.8% THC.
Jesus Christ, man.
I've been straight chilling, man. I got done with work a little early, you know what I'm saying? My prep a little early, so
Nice. Just
yeah.
chilling. That's how it's
Just
supposed to be,
chilling.
man.
Just chilling.
I have a question to get started here because
Yes, sir.
it's pertinent to our show, especially after last week. As we told people, and again, this is episode 101, people. So if you missed 100, go back and listen to that one first before you come over here, because then you'll know what the fuck I'm talking about. But we talked about that we are now on TikTok as a podcast. Got videos already cranking out. We're
Boom.
gonna get some new hot content for you. But with this ban going on, I want to know your thoughts because I was on TikTok last night, just, as I usually do. I like to go to bed a little early, lay in bed, put something stupid on TV, and just let my brain go with TikTok and just laugh myself to sleep. But everyone and their mama is on TikTok panicking that that this ban is gonna go through next week. And everyone and their mom is like, maybe we should go on this place called Red Note. And I said, huh, strange. Apparently it's the Chinese version of TikTok, which is already Chinese, but you know, it is.
I was just about to say,
it's the same fucking thing. But now it's gotten so much traction that overnight, Red Note is the number one app on the Play Store. That's fucking crazy because we all thought this ban wasn't even going to happen. So now that we are on TikTok, I want to know how you're feeling about should we be on Red Note instead, bro?
Fuck it. I mean, we're going to shoot our shot. What's the worst that can happen?
Right?
Fuck it. We'll shoot our shot.
We can.
Let's do it.
I almost think we should because like,
let's do it.
And I was on there. I downloaded Red Note. I'm not even going to lie. I did it last night. I was so fucking like just curious. And so I went on Red Note and I'm like, it's fucking nice here on Red Note. Everyone's so friendly. And I love that all the Asian people who use this on a regular basis are just so confused. And they're all so welcoming. Every single stream I saw was like, hey, for all you American refugees, like, welcome. Here's a few rules. Here's how I use this. You might want to learn some Mandarin for the next 6 months because you're going to need it. And I'm like, wow. But every comment on there is there's no toxicity. Nobody's talking shit about anybody. Nobody's bringing anybody down. And every American who posts on there is all the same message of like, hey, other Americans, just be good. Be good. Don't ruin their shit. We're the visitors. It's so refreshing.
Don't get us bombed, all right? Don't get us bombed.
Exactly. Don't be coming into their house, putting your shoes on their fucking couch and shit. Like, everyone's on their best behavior as Americans right now. It's almost heartwarming.
Hey, then, yeah, we must belong on there then. So we're going to go ahead and shoot our shot on there. Go ahead, set up the account, and I'll have videos locked and loaded because I already have some locked and loaded. I'm probably going to drop them tomorrow or tonight.
Do you know Mandarin? Because we're probably going to have to, like, translate some shit into Mandarin for that app.
Was that racist or...
No, not at all.
No, I'm just playing.
I was actually asking.
You're actually serious.
I can't be racist if I tried. I'm funny racist, so, like... No, I literally want to know because I'm like,
we might need to learn some. I know absolutely zero Mandarin.
Damn.
The only Asian language I know is Hmong. So
it's just Hmong. Fuck. Yeah, and I know those aren't interchangeable, but I was like, man, if he just knew Mandarin, we'd be light years ahead of everybody podcast trying to jump over to Red Note right now. We'd be
I'll figure it out. I'll learn. I'll figure it out.
Just a few phrases. We just need a few phrases.
Yeah. Like friendly, fuck that bitch.
Or
like,
right, exactly.
Yeah. Yo, or something I always say. Oh, pause. Pause.
Yes, exactly.
We got to learn how to say. Hey, Siri. How do you say pause in Mandarin?
I could have told you that myself, but whatever.
Zanting.
I like that.
Zanting.
Zanting. I'm probably saying it wrong anyway, but.
Zanting.
We just need some catchphrases like that. We need no diddy. We need. I just say gok gok in Mandarin. That's it.
We'll just insert a hentai fucking.
There you go. That's thinking outside the box, I think. Oh, man. I think, yeah, I'm going to look into it. I feel like if it's not Red Note, it's like I said, it's going to be Neptune. It's going to be something. We have a backup plan, folks. No matter what happens to TikTok, your boys are not going to slip. You will be able to find us. Don't you worry. We just got to figure out where the fuck we're going to go. That's all there is to it. It's like an American Revolution. It's so weird. Literally, our government is telling us what we can and cannot absorb for entertainment. So now, as a country, we are collectively raising a middle finger to our own government and going to a Chinese app because they were afraid of us losing privacy of our data. And I'm like,
y'all give a fuck.
They don't want my fucking data, bro. Like, y'all want my credit score? Really? Y'all don't want these problems, bro.
They know it already.
Exactly. I shop on Shein. I shop on fucking Temu. Like, if they ain't got it, I've been handing them my data willingly. bro.
They have everything on us. They're just trying to cover up for their bigger agenda.
Mm-hmm. That's all it fucking is. I know that shit too. Like, that's all y'all doing. You're trying to censorship. That's all it is. But guess what? You can't censor Americans, man. We're going to find a way no matter what. If I got a bootlegging app just to get my entertainment and see some people falling on their ass or some stupid dog videos that make me go, oh, that's really cute, I'm going to get it because that's how I get everything else. I won't say too much more about that without dying myself out. But I have avenues, motherfuckers.
We'll
Oh
just call
man.
them, yeah, avenues. That's a good word for them.
Avenues, avenues. You've seen some of my avenues. I got avenues for things. We'll make it happen. Anyway,
Zunting, zunting,
zunting, zunting. I gotta practice that one. Zunting. Yes, but we got an episode to get to. Don't let me digress anymore. Shall we start the show?
zunting. Cue the music.
Where we're headed, no one knows. But if you need some friends, rely on the
Fake Bros.
This is the Bank Bro Show, episode 101. My name is Siege. That guy's Rizzy. The girl in the song was Kalina, the AI producer.
Yo.
We're all welcoming you back. Thanks.
No, fuck you, Kalina. Get the fuck off my show.
I'm going to wreck your credit score.
There we go.
Go again. Home and go stick that pussy in a microwave or some shit.
Wow. What's up with you in the microwaves these days?
Nobody wants to match your freak.
Microwaves are for delicious food, not for dick and pussy, dude.
Man, I have no idea. I just noticed that because I was talking about the hot dog in the microwave last weekend. Yeah.
God, you two are going to get along at some point. It's going to happen eventually.
No, fuck that bitch.
Wow.
I really would have fired her, but she's lucky I consider your word and she's going along with it. But I would have fired her. I'm just saying.
It's going to be a week-to-week contract for her. We'll just, if she fucks up, we'll take a week off of her. And we'll reprogram her, bring her back next week, and she'll have a better attitude.
No, I think we just burn her, but
just
we'll talk
burn
about
her?
That later. Yeah.
Wow. Anyway, we're back with another episode, more NFL news, and some UFC later on, because we got both in the tank for you. But since NFL is going on, the playoffs are real hot right now. And like I said, I was on the couch watching all the action. There are some great games that ended up happening out of those. But I know this man wants to start with one player in particular who's just been lighting the fucking world on fire. And that's Jaden Daniels from the Washington Commanders. And my God, the rookie QB is dynamite. He proved that he belongs in a pretty, pretty tough conversation about MVPs this year, if you ask me. But man, how'd you feel about Jaden Daniels' performance in this game?
Man, Jaden Daniels, he, again, does not play like a rookie. This man is not a rookie. Plays with so much poise. Let me just go through the final drive of the game. Mm. All right, he goes 1 for 1, 5-yard pass to Terry McLaurin on 1st and 10. He goes 2 for 2, a 21-yard pass to Dyami Brown on 3rd down. Makes an 18-yard dump off to Austin Eckler, and then on 3rd and 1, he turns on the burners. Mm. Defensive lineman grabs his towel. He skips up the field for a 1st down, sets up the game-winning kick. That was every time Jaden Daniels was involved in a play, that last play of the game. That led to the game-winning kick, like I said, which also led to the first postseason win for Jaden Daniels and being just the 4th rookie QB to do so. Mm. That's also the 5th game-winning drive of Jaden Daniels' career and 13 total wins. He was taking hits. He was throwing dots. He was most importantly and more impressively, he was climbing in the pocket. He was basically dropping his balls on the field as the pass rush was coming right into his face. Zing Tao.
I was going to say. I'm going to get that's a great one.
And he was throwing dives down the field to Dyami Brown and Terry McLaurin. They had the same amount of yards and a touchdown each. This man is here to stay. He's going to be one of the best quarterbacks to ever play this game. So sad that he plays the Lions the next round.
Oh.
But Jaden Daniels, arguably, no, not even arguably, is a top 5 MVP candidate. And
isn't that crazy?
Definitely runaway favorite for rookie of the year.
Oh, yeah. That book is closed. Unbelievable. And it's not even just about him. The Commanders in general, they win their first, and here's a stat for you. That was their first playoff win in almost 7,000 days.
Oof.
7,000 days. Days
7K.
Literally, that's the first time I've ever seen the Commanders, aka Washington, win a playoff game ever. because I didn't really even start watching. I was a Bears fan as a kid-ish, but I didn't really start like heavy watching football till about 05. And that's when they won. So I literally have never seen this team win a playoff game. So that was crazy for me. Ironically, the last time they won a playoff game, it was against Tampa.
Oh,
So
shit.
Tampa was just going through it. That game was great. I really enjoyed it. That last, oh my God, the last quarter for Washington was crazy. Oh my God. But they, in general, I'm kind of rooting for them the same way I was rooting for the Lions. Just in general, they did what I've been begging Chicago to do. They burned it all down. They burned everything down. They ditched their racist ass team name, their racist ass logo, their racist ass owner. They got rid of all of it. And they got a new GM, a new coach. They got a shiny new quarterback, all aligned. Front office is aligned.
Shiny ding ding.
It's now it's paying off. Just like that. Chicago, take a fucking lesson. It's the same thing the Lions did. I mean, almost to a T, but you tore it down, you hit rock bottom, and you're building up, and you're getting everything you deserve for it. So Chicago, like I've been saying, has just been putting band-aids on shit. So I need them to burn it down like Washington did, because this is proving with the right combo like that, man, success is gonna smell sweet. We'll talk about the Lions and Commanders in a little bit. But on the other side of things, with the Buccaneers, a little tough, a little tough. That I think they let that game slip from their fingers. They had quite a few
Absolutely.
opportunities to put this game away, and they didn't. And then that fourth quarter fumble by Baker,
Oof.
that was it. That doomed it. So it's tough for Tampa, but at the same time, I don't feel that bad because honestly, and all respect to Washington and Jaden Daniels, y'all should have never let Daniels even get the opportunity to get back in the game like that. You had him
Bro.
beat. You had him won. So
Yeah.
sorry, Tampa. Better luck next year.
And that was the difference in the game. Baker turned it over. Jaden didn't.
Exactly. That's wins for you. And at crucial times like a playoff game, that's the shit we remember. So I'm not worried about Tampa, especially next year. Mike Evans going for the record.
Oh,
So
they're going to be there again.
they'll be there. I have no doubt they'll be there again. So they'll be just fine. But let me switch over to a game I know I want to talk about. And that's the Philadelphia Eagles and the Green Bay Packers. Now, I'm gonna try not to be giddy about this because I'm not a dick most of the time. But Packer fans, y'all can say what you want about last week when you played the Bears, meaningless game, right? Fine, sure. You can say it all you want. What I said was the same. It meant something to you because if you had won, you would have been facing Tampa. You probably would have beat Tampa too. I don't know what that performance, but you most likely could have beaten Tampa. But losing to the Bears made you go to Philly and face that Eagles team. And all week, all I heard was, oh, well, they took care of Philly last year. No problem. This was not Philly with Saquon Barkley. This is the Philly with the number one defense, a ridiculous offensive line, Saquon, AJ. I mean, there were so many ways this could have went for the Eagles, and it just went the easiest way. They just beat the shit out of you. Plain and simple. Plain and simple. The Packers were frauds, like I've been saying. Frauds. And I'm not trying to hate on the record. You had a good season, but just like every fucking year, y'all do this to yourselves. You're putting lipstick on a pig. You guys think Jordan Love is like the be all end all and that everything is ready to go for a championship roster. It's a hollow team. It's a hollow team. I'm sorry. There's no heart here. There's flesh. You got no fucking receivers. Everyone's banged up. Everyone in that game got destroyed. I saw at least half a dozen people being carted off the fucking field for Green Bay. So your strength and conditioning coach needs to be gone, number one, because y'all getting banged the fuck up. But all I'm saying is they're always a good regular season team, just like another team we'll talk about in a second here. A really good regular season team, but a shit playoff team. It's just how it is. They don't stack up to the true elite teams in the NFL, and they haven't for a long time. They're good. I'm not ever going to say they're a bad team. But y'all need to look in the mirror a little bit. They're still missing quite a few pieces here. And your boys ain't getting any younger on this team. So they need to do something drastic. I'm already seeing them trying to get Davante Adams to come back. That's something. But it'd also be a little sad on his part, too, if you ask me. But I don't know how you feel about the Packers after that game.
Oh, you want to know how I feel about the Packers?
Well, you already know how I feel about them every fucking time. I ain't gonna say nothing.
This is the one thing I gotta say about the Packers. Fuck the Packers. They were the only team to lose on my parlay. They were +5.5 and they got blown the fuck out. Fuck the Packers. That's how I feel about it.
Costing the man money. This is the bank bro show, and you costing him money? Didn't understand the assignment. That's messed up. Anyway, Eagles cruise 22-10. Packers, another one bites the dust. Enjoy your Cancun trip and that nice banner that you hang up every year that just says the Packers completed one more game than the Bears. Ooh, good for you. At least we don't have delusions about how shitty we are. Again, other than the worst of our fan base. But most of us know we got a long way to go, so y'all can enjoy the couch with us. And someone else who can enjoy the couch with us are another fraud team, and that's the Minnesota Vikings, who fucked around and found out the hard way against the Los Angeles Rams. What did you see in that game, sir?
Well, I just wanted to throw this out there. It's like the Vikings lost at Detroit four times this season. Or actually, three. Yeah, four times.
I think it's four.
They lost to Stafford twice, and they lost to the Lions twice.
Just like that.
First and foremost, Sam Darnold was still seeing ghosts. The LA Rams, they took a page out of the Detroit Lions playbook and said, we're going to do exactly what AG did and blitz the shit out of Sam Darnold because he's a deer in headlights. He's going to hold onto the ball and take sacks. Pause.
It's true, though. It's true.
He was Sam Darnold was tackled before he threw the football about nine times for 81 yards, I believe it was. That's the
correct
most in NFL playoff history. That is nuts. Pause.
Nine sacks. That is a real number.
That's a big number of sacks, man. That's a lot of sacks you're taking. Whole lot of sacks.
There's no way to say that a better way.
Oh
my God.
No, Sam Darnold right. just loves taking them sacks, man. I mean, it's just back to back.
Oh my God.
But man, that's basically what I saw. And I also saw number nine on the LA Rams. He was heating up. Man, he was hitting everybody. He was hot. He was one step ahead of Brian Flores the whole game. It wasn't even Sean McVay. Stafford would come up to the line of scrimmage and just check with me. Okay, we're going here because they're going there. And man, it was masterful watching Matt Stafford work. Now, I want to pose this question to you since we're talking about this trash ass team, and you're probably going to get into them a little more than I am. But I just want to pose this question because it's been a topic of conversation for the latter part of the year. Does this end Sam Darnold's chance of becoming a franchise quarterback?
Define franchise quarterback, just for argument's sake. In this case, what do you mean?
I mean, the number one quarterback on a team that is a playoff contender year in and year out.
Okay, that's what I wanted to make sure we're getting at. Because that could mean like multi-year contract, but he doesn't actually do shit. So you're saying, hey, on a successful team, he's the guy.
Right. At minimum, making the playoffs and doing damage in the playoffs, that's the minimum.
Yes. It ends that experiment. It should have already been over. In this case, like I said, they've been frauds the whole time. The Vikings are a good team regular season, as they always are, every single year. Doesn't matter who's on the fucking team. As since they've had Justin Jefferson, that's a team you have to bet on them sometimes. Plain and simple. But the thing about Darnold is, Dude was out kicking his coverage the entire fucking season. It's the key. It's the Brock Purdy effect, in my opinion. It's you have a team around you this fucking talented. It's kind of hard not to be good. Darnold is a serviceable quarterback. I'm not saying he's bad. I'm not going to trash him like he didn't get 14 wins this year. That was mostly him too. But at the end of the day, he's still an outdated mid-ass quarterback against a bunch of elites. That's just all there is to it. This was a good season for him. You know who else had a good season for Minnesota? Case Keenum. Where's he?
And how many playoff wins did he have?
Yeah, the Minneapolis Miracle. The one. That was it. So there you go. So for Darnold, you can't even get Case Keenum levels for playoff wins. I'm sorry, dude. You're not the guy. Fortunately for Minnesota, in my opinion, they already have their guy. His name is J.J. McCarthy. And with the talent that he has, I think – yeah, another 13-14 win season is not out of the question. As for playoff wins, I don't know. It's Minnesota. I feel like they're cursed forever. But they're not going to fall off Like, Sam Darnold's going to fall off. I do. Now, do I think Darnold's going to get any other contract somewhere? Yes, I do. But for him to be like a franchise guy, that ship has sailed. I'm sorry. I think you've seen the ceiling. There's nothing wrong with it. It's still a good ceiling, but championship, playoffs, him as a backup somewhere, sure. A Nick Foles thing. I could even see him being like a Nick Foles where he just kind of comes in for the last game and does enough to win it for him, but isn't the guy for the rest of the season. That's fine too. That there's a place in history for that. Is that Hall of Fame shit? No, but Darnold has talent. Don't let me sit here and bash the guy all night, but I think you've seen all the talent he's got. And if he can't do what a team as talented as Minnesota can be, sorry, that's your answer. So, and there's a litany of quarterbacks you could say that about in NFL history. It's not a bad thing. He's going to make a good career for himself. Be happy you had the second win, bro. This was a nice season for you. That's all it's going to be. Just an opinion.
You know, I agree with almost everything you said.
Whoa, crazy.
Yeah. This experiment to me bent over before it started. I didn't buy any of the hype. I knew eventually we'll get the Sam Darnold that saw ghosts. Once someone showed you who they are, you got to just take them at that because he is who he is. He is who we thought he was. So it is what it is.
There you go.
I'm not even going to go that far. The last two games that he's played, he's probably cost himself over $25, $35
million. He crunched the numbers. Huh?
Yeah.
I mean, shit, you're probably not wrong either. That's the thing because like I said, he'll get another contract.
Right.
Multi-year, doubt it.
Even if it wasn't going to come from the Minnesota Vikings, he was going to get paid by, you never
somebody.
Know.
Raiders, Michael Cullen.
Raiders or fucking, I don't know.
There's plenty of people who could use him as a backup or a stopgap. So, I mean.
Fucking Titans. You never know.
Yeah. They got new everything coming in. So.
Yeah.
They know Will Levis ain't the guy. So, shit. Bring Darnold in for a year. Go get your quarterback in the future. Like. That's a fine career, but he's just done. I think that's his ceiling. As for other ceilings, I want to talk real quick about the Steelers game because the Steelers and the Ravens played. And as we all know, those two are blood rivals. So whenever you have a game like this in a playoff, it's going to be magic. Unfortunately for the Steelers, that magic ran out real, real fucking fast. Derrick Henry for the Ravens went insane. 186 yards. Two touchdowns. Lamar Jackson, the MVP, who should be the MVP, added another 82 himself. So that's almost 300 rushing yards total. And the Ravens obliterated the Steelers to end their season. And they didn't even need Zay Flowers to do it. So this wasn't even Ravens at 100%. And the Steelers practically shit the bed. They had a nothing first half, that maybe a little bit in the second half. But then after one spurt from Wilson, pause. That was really about it. Ravens just finished them the fuck off. So, I mean, I mean, pause. A lot of finishing. We had to do a lot of pausing today. Damn. But that is now the fifth time that the Steelers have lost in the first round since 2017. That's a tough stat. That's also a five-game losing streak they ended their season on, even as a playoff team. So, I was in the I don't want to say chat rooms because it sounds like I'm talking about America Online from like fucking 1996. But I was in the chat rooms, the message boards, and I took a glance over at the Steelers fan base to see how people were feeling. And they are very, very split. Actually, multiple things. Do they keep Russell Wilson or not? And do they keep Mike Tomlin or not? And that's the one I wanted to ask you about. If you are Steelers brass and you have a coach like Mike Tomlin who is, needless to say, one of the most respected coaches in the entire fucking league. I adore that man.
Of all time.
Honestly, yeah, he's up there for me. If you have that guy, a perennial, you know, over 500 coach, lots of success, a Super Bowl ring, like, what do you do? Do we just keep on keeping on and you just keep churning the box here, trying to get something going? Or is it time to cut ties and see what else is out there, seeing as the coaching carousel right now is going berserk? What would you do?
I would keep Mike Tomlin. And let me tell you why. Of 18 seasons that Mike Tomlin has coached the Pittsburgh Steelers, he's made the playoffs in 12 of them.
Crazy.
You do the math. I'm not that good at math, but the probability of Mike Tomlin going to the playoffs, pretty fucking good.
Yeah. In that division, mind you.
In the AFC North, one of the toughest divisions for the past
ever. Yeah.
Yeah. for the past, I don't know, for a long like, fucking time.
So long.
And so many other franchises, so many other fan bases would love to take the place of the Pittsburgh Steelers fan base. And oh, did y'all forget Mike Tomlin has two Super Bowl rings?
Oh, he does have two. That's right. I keep thinking it's one.
No, he has two Super Bowl rings. He won once when I was in middle school. And then I believe he won once when I was in high school.
No, I'm sorry. He's been to two. He won one.
Oh, yeah. He lost to, what's his name? Aaron Rodgers. And then he went, he might have went as an assistant with Coward.
Oh, I see. But yeah, Steelers Cardinals, I think, is when he actually won it. And that was it.
Yep. That's actually correct. Yeah. So I was wrong. But anyway, yeah, it's a Super Bowl ring.
He's been to two Super Bowls. Shit.
Yeah. So the problem is not Mike Tomlin. The problem is quarterback play. And over the last five games, I'm glad you brought up that the Steelers have took five straight L's right in the fucking face.
Oof.
In those five games, they've averaged 14 points per game.
Ouch.
And they failed to score over 18 points in all five of those games. Russell Wilson tallied seven total touchdowns and two interceptions.
Mm.
Now, let me read you Justin Fields' stats, his last five games as a starter. He was 3-2. The offense averaged 21 points per game. Justin Fields was 10 touchdowns, one interception in those five games. And those wins, of the three wins, those two wins came over playoff teams such as the Denver Broncos and the LA Chargers. So the answer was right there in front of their bench. They just chose to ignore it. That's all I got to say.
I would absolutely agree. But here's the thing. As a Bears right now, I'm not sure why we're not making a phone call. Do you know what Mike Tomlin can do for the Chicago Bears? Are you kidding me?
So and I would say trade for Mike Tomlin?
I would trade a pick for him. That's how respected I think he is. That's how I think – look, when I say I want a culture change in Chicago, Mike Tomlin was a culture changer. They said they want a leader of men. Who's a bigger leader of men than Mike Tomlin other than Dan Campbell? So, Mike Tomlin is at least worth a pick. As you've seen, the Bears don't know how to draft shit anyway. So if I'm going to get a Super Bowl-winning coach with a pick, sign me the fuck up. That's better than anything else we're going to pick up right now. So, yes, we are literally interviewing everyone with a pulse right now. I'm pretty sure they interview Bobby Boucher at some point. They're interviewing everybody. Why haven't you called the Steelers? Look, this is perfect. Take him, please. My God. But anyway, sorry. I have blacked out for a second because he would have been one of the first people I called. As soon as they lost that game, I would have been on the fucking phone. People are pissed. But that's just me trying to be a big brain here. But I agree with you on Russell Wilson. I think you got to let him go too. It's not like he had a bad game stat-wise, but there was just no fucking juice. Where was the spice?
Empty calories.
Thank you. Nothing. It's empty calories. So, like, what the fuck is up with that? The run game, non-existent. They had nothing.
Well,
so,
Baltimore has the best run defense in the league. So,
Of course. But, my God, there's the best in the league, and then there's six carries for 17 yards. Like, damn, bro. But if you use Justin Fields, that's an extra rushing threat. Y'all can say what you want about Wilson running. He's not faster than Fields.
What about George Pickens?
Listen, I like George Pickens. I like him. Five receptions, 87 yards on five targets. Cool. He has a touchdown as well. But again, where's the sizzle, bro? It was all like in a cluster. The rest of the game, he was nowhere to be found. So, but then he's the first one complaining about shit. So it's just that there's something broken with this team that hasn't been fixed yet that they're missing. But Mike Tomlin's not the fucking problem. I think you need to go with Justin Fields and get him some more weapons and see what you got there. But if y'all don't want Mike Tomlin, I'm just letting you know now. We would love him here. We would love him forever and ever. I'll build him a statue before he even does anything. That's what I'm saying. I need that shit. Please. But after all that, we're down to the divisional rounds in the playoffs. So I want to get some quick picks for who you got. Lions over Commanders is my pick. What do you feel in that game?
I absolutely agree with you. The Lions are 9.5-point favorites. I like them as 9.5-point favorites. And shout out to the Detroit Pistons for flexing their game to make sure that the Detroit Lions are able to have their time in Detroit.
Classy move. I didn't know they did that. Very nice.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I feel it's going to be a fun game. I'm really looking forward to watching that. Yeah, I'm sorry. Commanders are good, but I don't think you can hang with Lions right now, man. But Jaden Daniels, that's
I
going to
think,
be so fun to watch him.
yeah, no, I think we win because we're going to expose their 30th ranked run defense. We get David Montgomery back,
Boom.
Sonic and Knuckles. It's going to be a Sonic and Knuckles game.
Boom. I love it. How do you feel about Eagles versus Rams? Another big game.
Eagles, Rams. I actually like Rams plus 6 in this spot right here. And I actually do like the Rams to straight up win. I do like the money line as well. So I just think Matt Stafford's hot right now. He has that offense humming. And the Eagles offense, specifically their passing offense, just looks kind of mid. Just they don't have the same pop they used to have. Like I don't think anything of it when I'm watching them. And for some reason, they refuse to give Saquon Barkley the ball. There's many times early in the game in the first half where they're throwing the ball on early downs, first and second down, and they could just hand the ball off to Saquon to get 4, 5, 6, 20 yards. But so yeah, I do like the Rams money line. I do think they'll win, but I'll probably take plus 6 here.
Okay. I like that, except I'm disagreeing. As much as I want the Rams to win this, I have Philly winning this, and it's only because of the man you just mentioned, Saquon Barkley. And unfortunately for the Rams, that rush defense is currently ranked 26, and that's exactly the formula for beating the Rams because you already know they want to get in the shootout. You know they got the weapons to match you on that shit, blow for blow. But rushing wise, I like Kyron Williams, but Saquon is on another level right now, and that rushing defense, I'm sorry, is going to struggle against him because that man is just a machine. So I'm hoping I'm wrong because I definitely am not a Philly guy. You already know that. Well documented on this show. But I feel they have it, that edge over the Rams. After that, we'll see. Again, really hoping I'm wrong, but shit, money line would be kind of nice. I might put a little money down myself. We'll see. Let's go with Chiefs and the Texans. Texans surprised some people by winning last week, even though I was saying without the receivers, they didn't have it. But boy, that defense showed the fuck up. So do you think it shows up again and makes the biggest upset of the playoffs and ending the Chiefs' three-peat journey or not?
To answer your question, that defense does not show up again, and let me tell you why. Justin Herbert, he was sold by his own team.
Yes.
Receivers were dropping passes. Passes was flying right through their hands, right into defenders' hands. It was just a bad day for Justin Herbert at the office. And that's what it was. It's not going to happen
Yeah.
against the Chiefs. The Chiefs are 8.5 point favorites. I actually like Houston with the points, but I think the Kansas City Chiefs will win and advance in the playoffs. So you could play the money line. I might play the money line, Chiefs money line, but I just think the machine is going to want the Chiefs to win. So the
Exactly.
Chiefs are going to squeak by and win the same way they've been squeaking by and winning every other game this season.
It's inevitable. I'm so sick of the destiny part of it. They just keep winning when they have no business winning. And like we said before, with like the worst statistical season they've had, but they just keep fucking winning. So it's ugly wins for them this season. I think they get another one here as well. I have Chiefs over Texans. I don't think that same game. I think Texans got real just cushy because Chargers were just not showing up for that fucking game. And that's all there really is to it. But the Texans, I don't think can last this long against the Chiefs. Pause. But Chiefs are the team of destiny until they run to the Super Bowl, in my opinion. So I'm going to rock with them on the betting line. And I would play a money line on that too, honestly. Just straight up. Why not?
Chiefs, okay.
But let's get to the last game because that's the spicy one. That's Ravens and Bills. Big, big game. I think it would probably be the game of the week here. But how do you feel this is going to go? Because this is real interesting.
as it stands, Ravens are 1 point favorites going into Buffalo. I actually like the Ravens to win. I'm gonna go ahead and take the money line. Because the odds, the payout odds aren't too different. If I'm gonna spot Vegas a point, I might as well just take the money line straight up so the Baltimore Ravens could win. So I'm taking the Baltimore Ravens to win straight up against the Buffalo Bills. I think Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry are going to be too much. And that Ravens run defense, like I mentioned earlier, number one in the league. So I think they'll be able to contain James Cook, and Josh Allen, hold that combination down. And then pass off, I mean, pass defense wise, I think they'll do enough in a shootout to give Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry the ball to close the game up.
I like it. I like it a lot. In fact, I'm going to agree. And I it's nothing against Josh Allen because again, he's been just up there with the MVP case as well
Right.
for himself. Buffalo has been crazy good this season, well beyond what people thought they were going to do. And I know it's Buffalo and they've been elite for a while, but like we had him at the beginning of the year, you know, this man maybe he had him as like missing the playoffs completely. So they've proven that even without Diggs, they have enough talent across that fucking offense to just will themselves to a double-digit season. But the Ravens and that combo, I'm sorry, Lamar and Derrick Henry together is a disgustingly talented combo that few teams can hang with
Every
Buffalo.
answer on
Yeah.
how to guard him is wrong.
Right. Exactly. That's so accurate though. Like, what are you gonna do? And again, I don't even know, is Zay Flowers even back next week? Like,
It
because if
might not
he's,
even matter.
it may not even matter. It didn't matter this week. With Buffalo, I'd argue they probably need him, but honestly, Ravens are just fucking studs, dude. So as long as they're playing the way they've been playing and nothing weird fucking happens, I have the Ravens winning this too. I'm gonna say it's gonna be a close one, honestly. I don't think we're getting a blowout here because Buffalo's pretty fucking talented, but I think the story ends with Josh Allen again this season. I don't know what the man's gotta do to get over the hump here, pause, but the Ravens, I think, are just too good at this point. They're kind of that fiery ass team that you don't want to see right now. Buffalo's gonna fuck around and find out. Go on, Ravens here on the money line.
All right. So if I could just recap my parlay
Oh
real
man.
quick, CJ. So I currently have the Texans plus 8.5 points, the Lions 9.5 favorites at home. The Rams, what is that? I have the Rams money line, and I also have the Ravens money line. $100 wins you $2,200. I repeat, $100 wins you $2,200. Book that 14 parlay and follow me and make you some bread. If you want to play it safe and take Rams plus 6 with the points, $100 still wins you $1,200. So if you want to follow me there, go right ahead. And again, that's just the Rams plus 6 over Rams money line.
I'm telling you, underdog, you're on your sponsor us, man. Did you hear? That was just off the fucking top of the dome right there. That was a perfect promo for doing some sports betting. So y'all need to be sponsoring us. Holla at your boys. But speaking of betting on some sports, we got some bets to place on a different sport because, ladies and gentlemen, UFC 311 is coming up this Saturday. And this is, looking at this lineup, easily the most tongue-twisting lineup I've ever seen. With these fucking names. But if you're new to the show, what my boy and I like to do is go over some predictions for each of the five main card fights and like make our picks, try to figure out what round these, you know, finishes are gonna happen in, and then we bet shots, usually shots of whiskey, brown liquor, or dabs like my boy like to do over here, the kind of depending what's in our hand at that point. And we usually base it off of how the difference is between where they ended up and our bets. So usually the results show is a lot drunker than the prediction show because of that. Fun is had by all. But let's get started with a Bank Bros favorite, your boy of mine, Mr. Kevin Holland,
Oh,
taking
hey.
on Renier de Ritter, who I don't know much about this guy, but what I do know is they call him the Dutch Knight. The
Oh.
Dutch Knight,
Oh,
which is
yes.
hilarious. And for that reason, and that reason only, Kevin Holland is going to knock him the fuck out in the third round. You can fucking bank on that.
Oh man, I wholeheartedly agree with that statement right there, man. When the fuck are we ever gonna bet against Kevin Holland on this show? You
Never.
can never bank on us never betting on Kevin Holland.
That was good. That's my boy, man. Kevin's going fucking eat his fucking lunch, bro. I'm telling you. That's an easy bet, but the other four may be a little bit trickier. Let's go with Beneil Dariush and Renato Moicano.
Yes, sir.
Yes, two lightweights kind of looking to right the ship. Some losses here and there, some injuries, actually. So I'm not sure if either one wows me at this point, but how do you feel this fight's going to go?
Low-key, I got Moicano for one reason and one reason alone. I can't afford to lose. That's the only reason why I got my boy Moicano, man. Give me money, Moicano, by knockout.
Money, Moicano. Oh, man. Oh, man. Yeah, I'm actually going Moicano as well. And mostly it's nothing against Dariush, but he is coming off a pretty major knee surgery, and this is his first fucking fight. And before that, he was losing anyway. So I don't think a knee surgery is going to help him get better because, my God, he's already getting – they're both in their mid-30s. I think they're both 35, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. So 35 – I know how my knees feel at 39 without any surgeries. So 35 with knee surgery – sorry, I don't bet a single dollar on that kind of fucking fighter. No offense. So I'm going Moicano. I'm going to say it by decision. I think, you know, three rounds, they're going to fill each other out first round.
Pause.
Pause. Damn. And then I think Moicano just outpoints him and just.
Hey, you want to side bet that? You want to side bet a shot on that?
Yes, I do, actually.
All right. Because I got him by finish. Okay, okay, okay.
Okay, all right. Cool. Write that down. I'll take
KO
that.
KO versus. UD.
Yeah, yeah.
You're going to do UD or just D? Pause. Decision. Decision. Decision, guys.
Yes.
Decision.
By decision. There's so many fucking... I already know the name of this episode now. Anyway. Let's move on. We keep pausing the fucking episode. We got two big names in a light heavyweight division. And Jiří Procházka versus Jamahal Hill. Procházka. Going toe-to-toe. Trying to make their way back to the champ, Boatan Alex Pereira. And me, I've said before, and I've said it again, I'm not a fan of Hill. I never have been. I never will be. The way he won the title, the way he lost the title, the way he's still kind of in denial about it, the way he's just kind of going to gyms now and trying to challenge Pereira to his face, even though Pereira's like, okay, throw the fucking gloves on. And then he just kind of backs up like a little bitch. Like, I don't like all that shit. Why are you causing ruckus if you're not even going to throw the fucking gloves on? If you're going to scrap, scrap. But you know you don't want none of that work. Pereira is just the fucking crypt keeper of this division. So I need Hill to stop trying to box up with the man. Like, you're going to get knocked fuck out on TMZ for no paper. Don't do that shit. Do it in the UFC. Do it in the fucking octagon, dude. But he drives me nuts with the way he handles his business. And I don't vibe with that shit. And Jiří, I don't care how many losses that motherfucker takes. That is a mountain of a man with knockout power. And he can bend. Those reverse elbows are insanely accurate. And I think that's what you're going to see is another beautiful, crisp knockout. I've got Jiří taking Hill out. And I'm going to say in second round with a beautiful elbow. Bow! Done and done.
Second round elbow. I like it. I like it.
You know what? That.
Man, you know, part of me really wanted to take Jamahal Hill. I'll be completely honest, but that performance against Alex was just pitiful.
It was.
And at least Jiří, like, put up a fight.
Right.
In the first and second fight, at least he put up a fight, man. So give me Jiří.
There you go. There you go. See?
I think my stop is two.
Yeah. This isn't going to fucking three, man. I just don't see it. Hill is just, I just don't have it with him, man. Like, there's not a lot of fighters I just dislike, but he's not giving me reasons to like him. So I can't rock with the guy. Sorry, boy. So that brings us to our two title fights, co-main and main. In the co-main event, the bantamweight title with Merab Dvalishvili against Umar Nurmagomedov. And this one is an interesting one, especially with Merab just getting the championship, taking out Sugar Sean O'Malley. So how do you feel this one is going to go?
I think this one goes decision. We're going to see a lot of wrestling. We're going to see a lot of wrestling early in the fight, in my opinion, when they're not sweaty yet. As the fight goes on, the more tired these men get, they're going to start striking a lot more. And in my opinion, I just think Umar is a crisper striker, cleaner striker. And I think that's where Umar wins this fight.
Interesting.
I think Umar actually wins by a decision, though.
Okay.
Yeah.
So title went on decision. Interesting.
Yeah. So give me Umar winning the title by decision.
Okay. And it's tough to bet against Umar because the guy's undefeated. So, I mean, for Merab, it's like, damn, you just got the biggest win of your career. You get the title that's been eluding you. And then you get an 18-0 undefeated fighter as your first challenger. Fuck. Is that even his first challenger? I don't even know. But it sounds like
No.
it maybe is one of his first challengers. But that's tough. That's a tough fucking opponent. And from what I've seen from Umar, dude's a star. The guy is. They're both really hard to take down. So I like when you said there's going to be rest in the beginning. I feel like they're both going to try, and neither one's really going to be able to do it. I think we're going to get a lot more striking than you think. They're both almost notoriously hard to take down. So if wrestling isn't the game plan for either one of them, they got to be real confident about it. So I don't know how much we're going to get. That's going to be an interesting thing about that fight, I think. If it stays up striking, I actually think Merab is going to outpoint Umar. Not that Umar can't hang with him like that, but I just think when Merab's striking, especially after the O'Malley fight, because O'Malley was known for that too, and he was able to handle that pretty well. With his striking ability, I think he evens out with Umar enough to outpoint him because he's a champion. And that's all I'm saying is the decision part, it's so hard to win a title on a decision. It's got to be pretty overwhelming. Otherwise, it's usually the champion's favor. And that's how I feel this is going to end up. I have decision for Merab as well, but I have it like a very close decision. That's where
Nice.
I'm going with that.
I like it. I like it. So that's one shot. So that's two total shots. And we're gonna go by round again.
Of
But
course.
we both think it's decision.
I do, but we'll
So that'd
see.
be just one shot. So that'd be just one shot.
Unless it's
But
our first round knockout, then we all
we'll
fucked.
save that maybe for the main event.
Man, ooh, I mean, I'm down doing it for both. That's just me.
All
Give the
right,
fans
bet.
what they want.
All right, come on, let's do it. Let's do it for both.
I always got the shit ready, you know, so.
By rounds. We'll do it
By
by rounds.
rounds.
Okay.
Yes. All right. That brings us to the main event for the lightweight title. Islam Makhachev and Arman Tsarukyan, who we've mentioned in the show many times. I like Tsarukyan a lot. And he's been on an absolute tear in that division. There's no question about it. The only reason I'm not going for him at this point is because I can't ever see myself the same way with Kevin Holland. I can't ever see myself betting against Makhachev at this point. He's almost inevitable. Even though I think this is going to be a banger of a fight. And I think Arman Tsarukyan has enough tools in the bag here to do what he needs to do to get a championship here. But Islam, every time I bet against this dude, I think maybe he's got his limit. Maybe he's not as good as Khabib. Maybe he's just under. He just finds a way. And that fighting with Oliveira kind of made me think like I have to cement that bet for him now because Oliveira has my utmost respect. And I'm not gonna say he beat Oliveira's ass, but Oliveira was practically shook in that fucking fight. So until I see further notice that Islam is not the top dog of this division, I think decision is this one happening. So I don't see him knocking out Tsarukyan. Tsarukyan's really fucking talented, very deadly with the hands. I think we get a decision here, unfortunately, because I really want to knock out. I got Islam by decision, retaining the lightweight title. What do you think?
Man, I agree with that.
Oh no!
Man, I think
Tsarukyan's your boy.
Islam's just too good. He really is just too good.
He
I
is.
don't see him losing to anybody in that division.
No, he's just levels above him.
And I know Tsarukyan did very well in their first fight, but
He did.
and I know it was on short notice, meaning Islam couldn't really prepare for him too.
Right.
So now they
So.
both get full training camps, and now we really get to see what they can do. And I just think Islam is just a better fighter, point blank, period.
Yeah,
Yeah.
no. It's hard to bet against them, right? Like, damn.
Man, it's tough. You can't. He's almost on that John Jones level where he's
Yeah.
probably going to win
Just retire as champion, you
10
know?
times out of 11. He's probably going to win.
Right. It's kind of crazy, but he's on
Yeah.
that track already.
Yeah.
So, yeah, again, like I said, till I see you notice that there's anybody with the same all-around skill that Islam has, I don't see it happening anytime soon, if ever. So we'll see. Again, I hope I'm wrong. I love a good, not an upset, but I love a good stunner. And all of a sudden, everyone goes, just what you thought. You thought he was unstoppable. Like the Ronda Rousey effect. You thought she was unstoppable until she wasn't.
Until she got kicked with that roundhouse.
That changed the world. It changed everything. So Who knows? Sarukia might be Holly Holm. We don't know. We don't know. But we're gonna find out, and we're gonna play some fucking shots with that, and play with our livers and our lungs, and it's gonna be great. It's gonna be great entertainment for all.
Let me pause the show for just a second. On January 17, 2025, UFC President Dana White announced that Armin Sarukian was pulled from the main event due to injury. Lightweight champion Islam Makhachev will now defend his title against Renato Moicano. So, the bros decided to make a double or nothing bet for that fight, and they'll discuss it on next week's episode. I could have deleted this entire segment, but then this would be a 15-minute episode at best. Enjoy.
So as we wrap up, for again, for those new fans to the show, we like to give Rizzy the floor, the spotlight, let him just say whatever's on his mind, and usually have something entertainment. We call it the 2-minute warning. Rizzy, hit him with it.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, Cade Cunningham has entered the chat. Last night, the Detroit Pistons pulled up to the Garden and served the Knicks a hot L as 7.5-point underdogs. And per usual, Cade Cunningham led the charge, totaling 36 points, 26 of those coming in the second half. Shot better than 50% from the field and from three, and was a total plus 10 in the second half. I mean, check out this double behind the back punch. I'm about to clip it right here. Give Josh Hart a map. Oh, and then watch this. Watch this. K uses this Isaiah Stewart pick and his own frame to crab dribble Mikal Bridges, get him on his back. See Cat helping. Oh, crossover. Oh, yep. And then he hits that layup. Ooh, left hand tough.
Damn.
All right, all right. So, Cade has been hooping all year. If you've been living under a rock, Cade Cunningham averages 24 points, 6 rebounds, and 9 assists a game on respectable shooting splits. And his individual success has been the main reason why the Detroit Pistons have been one of the biggest surprises in the NBA and are currently sitting 8th in the East at 21-19, which is exactly 18 wins more than what this team had a year ago today. January 14th, 2025. That's today's date. Now, there's a universal understanding around NBA circles that Cade Cunningham has already locked up a spot on the Eastern Conference All-Star team. The question is, will Cade Cunningham make an All-NBA team? But regardless of how you feel about that, Cade Cunningham has entered the chat. And when you speak about the next wave of great NBA players that carry this league, Cade Cunningham's name should be mentioned.
Damn. I like it. I like it a lot. I don't like that it came against the Knicks, the team I'm rooting for this year, to test my fandom curse. So when I got that
him? In the Garden.
Great. And I got that message from you. I was like, cool, awesome. And then I get other messages saying, well, the Bulls are starting to rebuild and look good. Like, what? Also, the Bucks are getting wiped the fuck out sometimes too. They got demolished the other day. So, like, I don't even know if I'm a curse yet. I haven't gotten any results yet because all the teams that I root for are just exceedingly mid, all of them. So it's like a 50-50. I have no idea if I'm a curse or not.
They'll average. Blow somebody out, and then they'll allow someone to blow their back out.
I knew you were going to say it. As soon as you said blow, I was like, he's going to blow your back out. Oh, my God. It's infuriating. I can't win. I can't root for a winning team to save my life unless I jump on some stupid bandwagon. Watch me be a Chiefs fan next year, and they're going to get like 3 wins for no reason. That's just how it works. It's bullshit. It's bullshit. But congratulations. Go Knicks. I'm glad you guys won, Pistons. That's lovely for you. But the Knicks are still doing okay, so I'm not a curse yet. We'll keep track of all of that as we go through the NBA season. And where you can keep track of that, folks, is at the Bank Bro Show. We're on YouTube, Facebook, Gmail, and TikTok, as you heard. Possibly Red Note. We'll get back to you on that
one. Will be.
We'll be on Red Note. We're going to learn some Mandarin. We're going to learn some better English, and we're going to mind our P's and Q's and not shit on their furniture. And we're going to be really nice on Red Note. So make sure you guys follow us there. Definitely. My shoes are already off, always. I'm at home. So that's the vibe. Make sure you guys stay tuned for all those developments in our social media sites. Check out all the artwork, all the new content coming out. And again, more to come, people. You think we're done? No, we're just getting started. And you know why? Because the Bank Bros are in your city. Here for you as we always are. You can bank on it. Kalina, hit that music.
Fuck you.
Where we're headed, no one knows. But if you need some friends, rely on the Bank Bros.
Blah, blah.